Before we jump into the teaching today on how to invest your life without regrets, what a practical message, isn't it? What a practical training point we all have to learn. I want to offer you a free resource for your ministry. If you'll go to paultotimothy.com, we have a free training course that has been used for hundreds and hundreds of leaders in the world, and it is titled, How to Find and Empower Your Leadership Team. I really hope that you take advantage of it. You'll find it at paultotimothy.com. Let's talk about something that is extremely practical. How do we invest our life in ministry without regrets? Now, let's be honest. We all have regrets. We look back over times when we think, I have overinvested in the wrong people. I have overinvested in specific ministries. I have overinvested in a purpose that really never produced any fruit. And most of us can look back as well and realize, I am so glad that I invested into such and such. That person made a huge difference in the kingdom. How fulfilling that is. I am so glad that I invested into this purpose, this cause, this ministry, this place, this time. And we look back and all of us have some regrets, and we have some things that we're so deeply thankful for. Learning how to invest our life without regrets is a lifelong lesson, and the better we get at it, the more rewarding and probably the more significant our influence becomes in the world. Luke 8:15, when Jesus was concluding his teaching on the parable of the sower and the seed, he said this, "But the seed and the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word with a good and virtuous heart and hold it firmly and produce fruit with perseverance." He talks about this abundant harvest that comes because of the right investments. There was a sociological survey done a number of years ago. It's a fascinating study because it went to folks age 96 and up and asked the question, if you had the opportunity to live your life over again, what would you do differently? It wasn't a checkbox kind of deal. They actually sat down and wrote out what they would do differently if they had the opportunity to do it all over again, age 96 and up. Well, let me give you the three dominant responses that came out of that survey. They said this, if I had the opportunity to live my life over again, I'd take more risk. Many of them looked back and they thought about the investments of time and energy and money that they had made in their lives, and they regretted specific opportunities where what kept them from investing was risk, and they regretted that. Let me give you the second regret that they expressed. They said, if I had the opportunity to live my life over again, I would spend more time with family and friends. We deeply resonate with that, don't we? Both from in ministry, in our own lives easily, and as we watch other people's lives, we can easily see seasons where we neglected family and those closest to us. And they expressed a deep regret on not investing in a focused way there. The third one was a really big deal. They said, if I had the opportunity to live my life over again, I would live my life for things that would live on after I'm gone. I felt like at that point they spoke with the wisdom of Solomon. They regretted not investing in eternal values. The stuff that they were doing was just way too temporal. Didn't really matter that much. In ministry, it is essential that we learn the fundamentals of how to invest. David Roper, in his wonderful book titled A Burden Shared, talked about how ministers often are living so faithfully and yet end up living a disillusioned life. Let me quote from him in his book. As I watch my friends in ministry, he said, I note an odd inconsistency. Most of them ardently believe in what they're doing, yet many are utterly discouraged. They find themselves much too busy, and what may be worse, their busyness seems barren, hence their disillusionment. He said, we soldier on, getting busier, running in our own version of the fast lane, increasing our pace and our blood pressure, rushing to our destruction like the Gadarene swine. Our densely packed lives lead us to respond like the Mad Hatter, who, when he was told that the inhabitants of Alice's world had to run very fast to get anywhere, replied, a very odd world. Here, one has to run very fast to stay in the same place. That line tickles me from Alice in Wonderland. Running very fast to stay in the same place. Jesus' teaching in the parable of the sower and the seed is so relevant to us. It's all about being able to take hold of God's present voice, his present emphasis of the Spirit, and live it out. Jesus paints a bleak picture of those who have an inability to take hold of the voice of God and live it out. He talks about three categories of people with deep regrets: those that have no harvest, those that have an aborted harvest, and those that have a diminished harvest, never really fulfilling to the level what God wanted. And yet he culminates this passage with the seed, with the emphasis, Luke 8:15, the seed and the good soil. These are the ones who have heard the word with a good and virtuous heart and hold it firmly and produce fruit with perseverance. And then he talks about this abundant fruit that comes out of their lives because they have learned to respond, invest specifically into the voice of God. There are three categories. You remember them. Most of us have preached them and taught them in our ministries. The first category are those that don't believe what God is saying. Therefore, nothing germinates, nothing takes root. The second category are those that actually do believe, but they're not able to suffer for the present emphasis of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They fall away because they are offended about these attacks that have come to the word that God has spoken. The third category are those that simply fail to divest and invest. Jesus said, worries, riches, and pleasures choke the word. They hear the word, it takes root, it begins to grow, but because they do not intentionally invest into what God is saying. So there are three real tricks to living a life of the right kinds of investments. They have to do with following clearly the principles in the parable of the sower and the seed. Let's talk about them for just a moment. The first, Jesus said, is this necessity to clarify the voice of God. That first category, God speaks, but they don't believe. One of the things that has helped me tremendously is to see how Jesus was able to conceptualize clearly what his Father wanted. You remember in John 5, Jesus said, the Son of Man can do nothing. I can do nothing of my own initiative. I can only do what I see the Father doing. Well, I don't think that he lived in a perpetual state of a vision of his Father. I think he discerned and did what the Apostle Paul refers to in Ephesians chapter 1 as seen through his heart, having the eyes of his heart enlightened. How did that happen in Jesus' ministry? Let me give you four things that were impressions that ultimately became this deep-seated focus of in how he was going to invest in his life. I do a little teaching titled, Why Did Jesus Do What He Did in the Moment? Well, he did what he did in the moment because he had heard the voice of his Father. How did he hear? I think there are four dominant things you see happening going on in Jesus' ministry and his life that we need to imitate. we need to copy. The one is he's clearly a man of conviction. Jesus is able to hear with clarity. You know, they came to him, his leaders came to him, and then he looked at them and he said, we're going to have to leave this place. Hundreds and hundreds were responding in that particular place to his ministry, but he said, I'm called to other places as well. What's the centeredness of that direction? It's based on conviction. Let me give you another one, compassion. Jesus is moved by the compassion and he heals them. He's moved by compassion and he feeds them. You see this as a theme in his ministry. Compassion helped Jesus discern the voice of the Father. Let me give you a third one. Clearly, problems were something that got his attention that ultimately became the direction of the Father in the moment. If somebody is shrieking out through demonic influence in a service, Jesus doesn't continue teaching. He stops and deals with the demon. The fourth one is deeply moving to me when you see it in the Gospels, where people simply come and say, would you come and do this? Request. And Jesus often will stop what he is doing and respond to the request. I think we're wise in clarifying. I'm going to talk about three things: clarifying his voice, suffering for what he said, and then thirdly, learning to divest and invest into what he has said. But we're talking right here about clarifying his voice. I think it starts with impressions. What are our convictions, compassions, problems, and requests that we're facing? Personally, I believe that our prayer life is essential here. We have to know how to take these kinds of impressions into prayer to become clearer about what he wants, having clarity in his voice. Let me give you the second one on suffering for what he has said. I so appreciate the words of the famous missionary Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission. A famous quote from him is this: it doesn't matter how great the pressure is, but where the pressure lies. There will always be pressure, suffering that comes when we embrace God's voice. Hudson Taylor reminds us of the truth that we know but need to be reminded of. It's this: pressure is going to come. Suffering is going to come. But we need to allow that to push us to the Lord and not away from him. I love his quote, don't you? It doesn't matter how great the pressure is, but where the pressure lies. He goes on to say, don't let that pressure push you away. Allow that pressure to push you into the presence of God. The third area that is essential, number one, clarifying his voice. Number two, suffering for what he said. Number three is learning to invest into what he is emphasizing. That has to do with divestment, getting rid of stuff, and investing intentionally, going after certain stuff. Let me tell you, we all deal with this, and one of the issues that we have to deal with very practically is this: our plate is full. Our life is filled. Right now, our life is filled to capacity. I remember when I was considering pursuing my master's degree, we were in the middle of planting our first church, and actually the second church. And I went to my wife and I told her, I said, I'd like to go back and get my master's degree. I remember her immediate response was basically this: I think you're nuts. And with everything that we are doing right now, how in the world can we afford that, both with money and with time? And she was right. I delayed it for a number of years. But I remember when I came to the point that I felt like, hey, this is a conviction point. I feel like I need to go ahead and take the next step in my education. And I went and counseled with a dear friend of mine. He was the president of one of our universities. And I told him, I said, I don't think we have time to do this. We have three morning services. I'm extremely busy. I'd like to get my master's degree. I love the program you guys offer, but I don't see how we can do it. And he looked at me and told me some really practical, good advice. He said, Mike, your plate is always going to be full. You have to decide what goes off of the plate and what goes onto the plate. That helped me. You know, after Jesus taught these principles of how to embrace the voice of God, clarify what he has said, get ready to suffer for what he has said, and invest into what he has said. Immediately following that, Mark's gospel brings this out. In the same context of teaching, the same time frame, the scripture says in Mark 4, 24 and 25, Jesus said, "Take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away." Boy, it's really true, isn't it? When we're able to invest into what God has said, we just seem to receive more and more from the Lord. And when we fail to invest into what God is saying, it seems like even the things that we have begin to diminish and are taken away. All of life comes down to the ability to hear the voice of God, suffer for what God has said, and thirdly, invest into what God has said. It's just so essential, isn't it? This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute, and I want to encourage you to go to paultotimothy.com. We have a free resource that we want to give to you. And that free resource is this. It is a course that it's a ministry training course titled How to Find and Empower Your Leadership Team. It is free to you. We would love to extend that to you. We want to invest into your ministry. Please take advantage of this wonderful course titled How to Find and Empower Your Leadership Team.